God, we humbly beseech thee to vouchsafe thy blessing upon this council, direct and prosper its deliberations for the advancement of thy glory and the welfare of the people whom we serve. Amen.
Amen.
Reconciliation statement reads, Melbourne City Council acknowledges that the land it now occupies has a history that began with the Indigenous occupants, the Kulin Nation. Council pays its respects to the Kulin Nation people and their elders and descendants past and present. Thank you, everyone. To make a statement. It is expected that all members of the gallery will have respect for the council meeting that is taking place tonight and conduct themselves in a manner that is fitting for the council to conduct its business. As mayor and chairperson of this meeting, I will not tolerate members of the gallery who are disrespectful of the council and other members of the gallery during the conduct of this meeting. Should anyone act in a manner that I consider to be inappropriate or disrespectful to the conduct of the meeting, they will be called to order, failing which they will be directed to leave the chamber. Should any person so directed refuse to leave the chamber, the assistance of Victoria Police will be sought and the person will be removed in accordance with the Summary Offences Act 1988. In regards to Section 7 of this agenda being public question time, I remind the gallery that silence is to be maintained whilst the questions are being read out and an answer provided. Should the submitter of a question require clarification in regard to a public question presented, I as the chairperson may allow such clarification. However, I will not be permitting any other member of the gallery to seek clarification in regard to a question submitted by any other person. Unless any member of the gallery has sought prior permission from council and received a written response allowing you to record any part of this meeting, no recordings will be permitted under these circumstances. Council does audio record and the open session of the meeting, and recordings are available to members of the public on request for the customer engagement of council. Thank you very much. Okay. Item agenda number 2, apologies and leave of absence. Number 3, declaration of any pecuniary interest, other interest or conflict of interest of any councillor.
Yes, Madam Mayor, I have a pecuniary interest with item 8.1 and I previously notified the CEO.
Thank you, Councillor. Item number 4, adoption and confirmation of minutes of previous meetings.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that the minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on 5th of February 2013 be confirmed as true and correct paper.
Thank you. Do I have a seconder?
Madam Mayor, I'd like to second that.
Thank you, Councillor. And do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Number 5, petitions and joint letters. Number 6, resumption of debate or other business carried over from a previous meeting. Number 7, public question time. Thank you, Mr. Gorey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We have a number of questions this evening. First question is from Mr. Nathan Miles. Yes, Mr. Miles is in the gallery. The question is, does council believe it is fair or moral to charge not-for-profit community groups to use community-owned buildings? In response to that, I guess council has a policy that it applies a charge to all groups who wish to access council-owned buildings. We have a schedule of rates for community groups, not-for-profit groups, that is less than applies to commercial hirers or non-community groups, I guess is the best definition. Council has had that policy for some time, so I guess by imputation, council has taken the view that it is both fair and appropriate that there is a charge. Council does provide a establishment grants process to assist new community groups with the costs of becoming established and operating in their first 12 months or so of operation, and that community funding is widely accessed by a number of groups within the community. However, I guess the view the council takes is that there's a requirement for some modest contribution from the community groups in recognition of the cost of providing such facilities, and in order to regulate amongst the very large number of groups that wish to access such facilities. To not charge at all would perhaps run the risk that access and booking of those facilities would be taken in a excessive manner potentially, and that's a risk that would need to be managed. So there are a number of issues to be balanced in adopting the position, and I'm sure Council will review your comments when we're adopting the fees and charges schedule as part of the upcoming budget. Second question is from Mr. Yanni Van Niemped, who's in the gallery, and he asks, has the council decided to reclassify all surrounding area of 2 to 50 Mescos Road Rockbank back to rural? This is referenced on page 58 of item 8.9 of tonight's agenda. And I'll ask our manager of planning, Mr. Bob Baggio, perhaps to answer that.
Thanks very much for the question. As indicated, this is a matter which has been considered by council tonight at item 8.9. Essentially what's being proposed is that a parcel of land bounded by the Western Freeway, the railway line and Mescos Road be rezoned to facilitate an industrial use on that land. The proposal only affects that particular piece of land, and it's considered by council, or it's considered by council officers and recommended to council that council initiate the amendment on the basis that it believes that it doesn't have potential to prejudice future structure plan that will be prepared at some future point in time for the land to the south, and the fact that the land has been identified and is zoned for industrial purposes in the south. Thank you.
The next question is from Mr. Paul Rumpf. Mr. Rumpf in the gallery. And his question is, the head of state of Australia is Queen Elizabeth II and her heirs and successors. Her photograph used to hang in the council chamber but has recently been replaced by a clock. He asks, one, when was the photograph removed? Two, who authorised the removal? Three, where is the photograph now? Four, when will the monarch's photograph be reinstalled to its place in the chamber? This was a matter discussed by the council shortly after the election, and council decided that they would have a new photograph of the Queen that was reflective of her current image, and they would have it framed and erected in the council chamber, and it is due to arrive this month and should be in place for the next council meeting. So that's jumping straight to item four. Item one, when was the photograph removed? I can't categorically say that. I know it was some years ago, but I can't give you a date. I will attempt to find out the date in response when I provide a written response to your question. Second, who authorised the removal? I believe it was the council of the time. Three, where is the photograph now? I do not know. I cannot advise that, and I'm not sure if any current staff do know. But as I said, we anticipate that photograph being in place for the next council meeting. Next question is from David O'Connor. Mr. O'Connor's in the gallery. And he asks, according to the current edition of Melton City Newsletter Moving Ahead, our city can boast many praiseworthy waste management, recycling and waste reduction initiatives. Would Council consider joining our neighbouring cities Hume and Moonee Valley in supporting the annual garage sale trail? I thank you for drawing that to our attention. I will refer this to the appropriate sections. I'm not aware of the annual garage sale trail. It's not something that I have knowledge of. I can guess what it is, but I will certainly refer it to them and we'll get a written response to you once there's been an opportunity to consider our participation. Next question is also from Mr. O'Connor, and he asks, with the development of the Bloomdale estate, Diggers Rest is now crying for sustainable growth. Unfortunately, since the completion of the Sunbury electrification project, staff levels at the Diggers Rest station have been cut, causing the new public toilets and waiting room to remain closed. In accordance with the attached letter from Metro Trains, and Mr. O'Connor has attached the letter, could Council write to our local Member of State Parliament and Transport Victoria to advocate for sufficient staffing levels to ensure the park and ride station can provide acceptable public amenities for commuters? I'm happy to take that on, and in discussions with the Mayor, I'm sure the Mayor will write to our local parliamentarians and to Transport Victoria, urging them to appropriately ensure that those facilities are available for the use of commuters. I think it's not satisfactory at all if they're not available. So. Next question is from Yanni Van Yempen. Again, there's another question.
Actually, my first question, I don't think it's really good.
He asks in relation to item 8.9, which is again the the same item as the previous matter. Why is council even considering changes to a planning scheme that it has not yet been ratified by the state metropolitan strategy or the GAA? And I guess it, for the purpose of smoothness of proceeding, we also have a question from Mr. Antonio, who is in the gallery, which is on the same subject, which is asking, why is council considering planning changes to an area that has not yet been identified for a PSP and is still pending investigation by the GAA? So I believe they're very closely associated questions.
In terms of the first question, basically the site is identified in the Western Growth Corridor plan as being a an industrial site, and we believe that the use has been proposed.
Mr. Antonio, please.
The PSP. The PSP.
You've asked the question. Mr. Baggio is trying to answer it. If you're not happy with the answer, you can leave. Mr. Baggio.
And in relation to the second question relating to the PSP, it's true that the PSP hasn't been prepared for this area. However, in this case, as I mentioned before, because the land is, if you like, reasonably isolated because it's bounded by the Western Freeway, Mescos Road and the railway line, it's believed that the development of the land can occur in the absence of a PSP without the potential to prejudice a future PSP.
Mr. Antonio, I'll ask you to remove yourself from the gallery right now. You are out of order, and I've given you plenty of warnings. Please remove yourself from the gallery. Please remove yourself from the gallery. You are out of order in this gallery. Mr. Antonio, I'll ask you to remove yourself. Please assist Mr. Antonio outside the gallery. Next question, Mr. Torrey.
Okay, the next question is also from Mr. Antonio. And he asks, can you please provide me with all permits, applications and notices to affected landowners in regards to cutting down the historic 500-year-old trees on Greggs Road, outside number 289, and the person or persons in relation to the applications and permits, and also the final decision maker. I'm not aware of this issue. I'll undertake to investigate and find out, and I will provide you whatever documentation we can lawfully provide in accordance with the privacy provisions, etc., that apply. Next question is from A. Giovanna in the gallery, who asks, considering meeting procedure local law 2004 has not been ratified by the state government and that they are unsigned and undated, does the council feel that they can impose them upon Melbourne City Council residents? If so, under what authority and by which instruments do you claim to be able to do this? First point I will make is that there is no requirement for any local law to be ratified by the state government. The requirement is that it must be gazetted in the government gazette, which is an action taken by the council, and in the case of this specific local law, it was gazetted. It's also not a requirement to have a commencement date in the local law, because under the Act there's a specific provision that says in the absence of a stated commencement date in the local law, it commences on the day on which it is made by the council. So the lack of a date of commencement is immaterial. Further, the validity of a local law can only be decided by a court of competent jurisdiction, and in the absence of any decision or ruling by such a court, council relies on both its local law meeting procedure and the Local Government Act with respect to its meeting procedures. Next question is from Alan Fairweather, who asks, pre-planning amendment C141, realignment of the boundary of the urban floodway zone at 868 to 898 Melton Highway Hillside. When the area floods, will the developer pay the remedial costs, or will the council, i.e. ratepayers, have to foot the bill, and please don't say it won't happen? I'll refer this again to the Manager of Planning, Mr. Badger.
Thanks very much for the question. Again, this is a matter which has been considered tonight at item 8.8. There's probably two points I'd like to make. The first is that advice from Melbourne Water indicates that once the land is subdivided and developed in accordance with the planning permit, then the area which is subject to flooding will be reduced as per what's been proposed in the amendment. And the second point is that the recommendation tonight is really to kick off or initiate the amendment process, and that if the Minister authorises the amendment, then it will be subjected to exhibition and surrounding and adjoining residents will be notified of the amendment and will be able to make a submission to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. The next question is from Mr. Varner again and Duke Gowrie. The question is, can Mr. Luke Shannon please disclose his affiliation with the Wilderness Society? Mr. Shannon is not in attendance tonight, so I can't ask the question of him, but to my knowledge, he has no association with that organisation, but I will ask him to respond to that question. And the last question this evening is from Mr. Southall, who's in the gallery. His question is, why is the council not doing graffiti removals anymore, as I have been taking it off for the last 3 years? In response to that, my understanding is that we are doing quite a significant amount of it. We're certainly paying for a significant amount of removal, so I hope that the removal is occurring, and I'll have our contract manager detail where and when and what activities we are undertaking. We have two separate contracts, both deal with graffiti removal, one in the parks and one in other areas. So I'm happy to discuss that with you later. That's all the questions this evening, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for your questions. We move on to number 8, presentation of staff report, 8.1, authorising of the fixing the common seal of council.
Madam Mayor, I'm declaring my conflict of interest.
Thank you,
Councillor Ward. Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the items, and of course 8.3, 8.6 and 8.8 be moved in block.
Sorry, Councillor Turner, we need to still...
Madam Mayor, can I put the recommendation on 8.1 as is?
Thank you. Do I have a second of this motion for 8.1?
If I've seconded it.
Does any councillor require any further clarification? Does any councillor oppose the motion? I therefore declared 8.1 carried. This is before Councillor Ball back into the chamber. Bobby. Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, can I move numbers 8.3?
Councillor Ramsey, might 8.2. We'll move on to 8.2, policy review panel minutes. And the presenter is Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present to the meeting this evening the minutes of the Policy Review Panel, which was held on the 6th of February 2013. Attached as Appendix 1 are the minutes to that meeting. There were two predominant things that were discussed at the Policy Review meeting. The first one being the terms of reference and ancillary matters relating to the Suburb Naming Advisory Committee terms of reference and the formation of the committee thereafter, which are a separate report in this evening's agenda, so I won't need to speak more on that, but that was a fairly robust discussion with the councillors and the Policy Review Panel to finalise those terms of reference. The second item considered at the Policy Review Panel on that evening was a carryover from the December Policy Review Panel meeting in regard to the review of the resources and expenses to be provided to councillors. At the December Policy Review Panel meeting, councils requested further clarification on the reinvestment of childcare expenses for councillors and ensuring that the terms and conditions by which we provide this policy or this arrangement to council as a policy is in keeping with the industry and certainly our neighbouring councillors, and that the rate that we allow councillors to reimburse is of a commercial nature. The draft clause is set out in the minutes and attached to those minutes as its Appendix 1, but is actually Appendix 2 to the council briefing on the council agenda this evening, is the entire resource support and expenses of councillors and special committees. So therefore, Madam Mayor, I present to council the minutes of the Policy Review Panel with the attached appendix for its consideration and for council to adopt the recommendations contained in the minutes of that report. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Do I have a councillor who requires any further clarification or question in regard to this matter?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair.
Councillor Carley.
I'd just like to clarify, if I could. I've got two items that I seek clarification. On page 15.7, business cards for the Mayor and Mayor's domestic partner. Is that something that has been done in the previous year?
Yes.
Has that been
business cards?
Yes, business cards for the Mayor and Mayor's domestic partner. Is that something that's been
done
in the
past? It's been my understanding that we have provided cards for the Mayor's domestic partner, should they request them.
Okay, thank you.
That amendment, Councillor Carley, that amendment was brought in the year prior to the preceding council election, so 2007 amendment, when the update of the policy was undertaken in 2007.
Have any of the Mayor's partners ever had business cards made?
Yes. Yes.
They have?
Yes.
Do you know the cost of that? Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it would only be a few hundred dollars, I would imagine, but I can certainly find that.
Okay, thank you. And also, the other clarification that I seek is in regards to the childcare. The issue, well, it's not an issue, it's really just a concern that I have. I've just, where we've got on page 11, if a receipt tax invoice cannot be produced, the councillor should submit a statement or a letter to the council, chief executive, outlining all the details outlined above, which is the dot points above, the provider of the service. I just feel that this is just a bit too open-ended. It needs to be a little bit tightened. And I mean, I think it's just open to be misused, the way that it's written. Is there any way that we could make an amendment to that? Because I'd like to see that councillors could be using a proper care provider with an ABN number, not a neighbour or somebody that they know, and then the council's paying that person. Can I make myself...
Yes, I do understand the context of your statement and then your subsequent questioning in that regard. The intention was to try to find a market rate to determine what is reasonable to be able to provide a reimbursement to councillors. I suppose there are certain circumstances and mitigating factors that the members of the Policy Review Panel discussed in regard to the ability to get childcare at short notice or reliable childcare in that regard, and often they felt that there was potentially a need to provide this level of flexibility, that should the circumstance arise that they could not provide a commercial provider, that they may in that event be able to fall back on something that is perhaps
not such a structured arrangement, but by doing that, they would need to provide a declaration for the chief of
staff. Okay. So if they're unable to find a childcare provider, then they could get a neighbour or a friend or whoever it may be. This is how it's written in here, is that correct?
That's not correct. It's not written as though if you can't get the professional provider, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's up to the council's discretion and it's up to them to declare it.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry, just a clarification. The current mayor, can we just clarify whether there is business cards for the current mayor's partner?
Three minutes. I'm not aware of business cards being provided to the current mayor.
Thank you. Out of all the mayors that it was available for, how many mayors have actually taken up that opportunity?
The chief executive may be able to answer more
than
one. One to my knowledge, Madam Mayor.
Madam Chair, I don't see what this has to do with the previous mayor or the previous mayor's partner. We are a new council and I don't see what that has to do, what that comment that you said has anything to do with what I asked for clarification about.
I'm simply clarifying that this current mayor is not using that discretion and is not allowing for business cards to be printed up for her husband. That's basically all the clarification that I'm just clarifying.
Councillor Carley. That's great. Thank you for that, Madam Mayor. And like I said, I only seek clarification, but that's great to hear. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Councillors, is there any other questions or clarifications in regards to this matter? Do I have a move on the
motion? Madam Mayor, can I seek one further point of clarification? When a provider without an ABN is used, maybe it's because of the preferred option or it's the regular option, if a receipt is issued, does it need to be on a formal receipt per se, and would it, in most cases, if it's signed by a councillor, is that in lieu of something like a stat deck?
It's the declaration of the councillor to provide the information to the chief executive if they, of the arrangements that have been made. So it's what the council does with the provider is their responsibility. The childcare provider is engaged by the councillor. It's the council's responsibility to reimburse the councillor. But the councillor declared reimbursement of expense, so it's up to them to provide a declaration to the chief executive to clarify that.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. If I may, just one follow-up. And those expenses are put on the councillor's website, and also they're available for scrutiny if a public member chooses to do so.
That is correct.
Thank you. Councillor Turner.
I'd just like to ask, how did the panel come to this figure, $41, I believe? How did you arrive at that?
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Turner, we, relevant council staff in the community services area, sought quotations from six providers. Six providers provided quotations outlining a raft of different options for council staff. They ranged from $37 to $43 an hour. Three of them provided quotations of $41 an hour, so we felt that that was a consistent amount, and we provided that as the maximum amount that a councillor could claim back.
Councillors, any other further clarifications in regards to...
Yes, Madam Mayor. How much are we paying carers now?
We increased the allowance paid to councillors to $20 an hour in 2008 and it hasn't been reviewed since then.
Councillors, any other questions? Councillor Farley. Yes, Madam Chair. I'll just say it again, it's not that I'm opposing the policy review panel minutes, it's just that I'm looking for clarification. I'm not happy with the wording. I think it's open to being misused. And I will, when it comes to voting time, I will reserve my right to vote.
Councillors, any other questions or comments in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
I'd like to move the recommendation.
Councillor Ramsey, do I have a seconder?
I'll second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Colliari. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion?
I therefore declare it carried. Councillors, can I please see a hand, raise of hand in regards to the moving of this motion? All those, yeah, I'm calling a division basically, sorry. I ask for a division to be called. Councillors, all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Borg, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Turner, Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Dunn, all those against, please raise your hand. All those who abstain from voting, please raise your hand. Councillor Parley. I therefore declare the motion carried.
Madam Mayor, a point of order, you have to name yourself as well.
Oh, sorry. We have to ask for that. Thank you. Order, please, in the gallery. Thank you. I'll just say that I'm for the motion. Thank you. Item number 8.4, Suburb Naming Advisory Committee.
Madam Mayor, can I rise to move a block, please? 8.3, 8.6 and 8.8, and the recommendations contained within.
Councillor Ramsey has moved that 8.3, 8.6 and 8.8 items on the agenda be moved in block and recommendations be put as the officer's recommendation. Do I have a seconder for that motion?
I'll second it.
Councillor Turner, do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? Do I have any councillor who requires any further clarification in regard to this motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, councillors. Moving on to 8.4, Suburb Naming Advisory Committee Terms of Reference. And I'll have Mr. Peter Lee, General Manager for Corporate Services.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of the report is to gain council endorsement to establish a Suburb Naming Advisory Committee and the attendant terms of reference in order to advance the formation and naming of 11 new localities as previously directed by council resolution. Also a requirement for this evening is should council determine to establish a Suburb Naming Advisory Committee, they will need to nominate three councillors to be on that committee in conjunction with a number of community members and industry members with the Mayor as the chairperson. Melton is certainly the second fastest growing municipality in Australia, and as such there is a requirement for the formation and naming of new suburbs. Formal process to apply for adjustments to suburb boundaries and names is set out in great detail in the Guidelines for Geographic Place Names 2010. The key principles for consideration as to whether something is included or must be excluded relate to matters such as language, public interest, public safety, duplication, directional naming, assassination, linking name to place, commemoration, commercial interest, discrimination and Indigenous recognition. The terms of reference for the committee are set out in Appendix 1, were endorsed by the Policy Review Panel at its meeting held on the 6th of February 2013. The Suburb Naming Advisory Committee will be primarily charged with offering specialist advice and recommendations to inform the development of suburb name shortlists for consideration by Council for all of set submissions received for potential suburb names during the public consultation phase. Membership of the committee is based on direct invitation of key stakeholder groups and relevant subject matter experts with an expression of interest process to select general community representation. The chairperson and deputy chairperson will be the Mayor and a second councillor respectively. Particularly important in the process is the appropriate engagement of the local community and key stakeholders to alert them of the proposal, allow time to receive objections and inform the eventual naming of the newly established suburbs. The establishment of the committee will help serve this purpose, which will also be supported by a wider engagement strategy that was previously endorsed by this council. Public consultation and engagement are key principles driving the establishment of the committee. Membership of the committee is based on direct invitation by key stakeholder groups, relevant subject experts, and the expression of interest process will be put out to select general community representation. The committee will partially be responsible for providing insight into community preferences and feedback in receiving and assessing submissions received for potential names during the public consultation phase. Madam Mayor, with that in mind, I present to Council the recommendation on page 31. That Council A, establish the Suburb Naming Advisory Committee, and B, adopt the terms of reference attached to Appendix 1 with consideration this evening for Councillors to nominate three councillors to be a part of that committee.
Thank you,
Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bean. Councillors, do we have any clarification or questions in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for the item?
I'd like to move the item. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thank you,
Councillor. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. I would like to call for nominations for a deputy chair for this committee.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Ramsey.
Councillor Ramsey, do you accept no nomination?
I do, Madam Mayor.
Are there any other nominations for a deputy chair on this committee? I therefore appoint Councillor Ramsey to the committee as deputy chair. I would now like to call for nominations for the two positions that remain for councillors on this committee. Councillor Ramsey.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Lara Talley and Councillor Nola Dunn.
Councillors, are there any other nominations apart from Councillor Dunn and Councillor Carley for this committee? Councillor Carley, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Councillor Ramsey.
Councillor Dunn, do you accept this nomination?
Yes, I do.
I therefore declare Councillor Dunn and Councillor Carley also as representatives of the Council for the Suburb Naming Advisory Committee Terms of Reference. Thank you, Councillors. We'll move on to 8.5, Council Unification Unit, presented by Mr. Salisbury, Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillors, this report is brought to you this evening in response to the motion carried at the November Ordinary Meeting of Council, which was that the Chief Executive provide a report to Council detailing the financial and staffing implications of creating a Council Beautification Unit to focus on beautification and rejuvenation of the older areas of the City of Melton, with a focus on issues such as graffiti, tree planting, line marking, and working with local business and residents to support and maintain a clean and vibrant city. Council currently undertake a number of items that could be classified as beautification works across a variety of business units and within a number of contracts. This, I believe, has proven to be an efficient and effective methodology, particularly over the last 12 months where Council allocated additional financial resources to beautification works. And in that regard, I refer councillors to the table included at Appendix 1, which details those elements within the current budget. The creation of a new department or business unit for the specific purpose of focusing on beautification would represent a significant additional investment on behalf of the Council and would not, in my view, deliver on the ground a commensurate improvement in outcomes. It is my view that additional financial resources directed towards beautification should be targeted at on-ground delivery at this stage rather than increasing the overall management commitment. In saying this, I do recognise that over time, with the growth of Melton City, it will come to pass that there will be a need for an additional department, and that will need to be created to spread workload that currently exists and is being experienced by the existing three general managers. I do not, however, believe that Council has as yet reached that point, and I believe that a beautification unit would be too narrow a focus to facilitate an appropriate reallocation of responsibilities that Council has overall and would not represent the most effective and efficient way of restructuring the management of Council. In this regard, I draw Councillors' attention to the table at page 39, which details the departmental structures, which are in place at some of the adjoining and or gross municipalities which have either five or six director general manager level positions, which contrasts quite significantly to the three at Melton.
Mr. Antonio, can you take your seat? I call for your order, please. I'll ask you to be removed. Excuse me, I would like to please remove Mr. Antonio outside the gallery. I think I've been more than fair with you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The recommendation, therefore, councillors, is to receive and note this report and that council give consideration to resource commitments to be made to beautification of the municipality during the consideration of the upcoming 2013-14 budget. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Story. Does any councillor require any further clarification or question in regards to this matter? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Mayor, if I may, I would like to move the motion and thank Mr. Tory for the considerable amount of work that he would have done in preparing this report.
Thank you, Councillor Gould. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second it, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Pugliaro. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to agenda item 8.7, consideration of planning panel recommendations in regards to planning scheme amendment C91, Caroline Springs Town Centre and planning scheme amendment C112, Burnside Shopping Centre. And we'll have Mr. Bob Baggio, manager for planning.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
Councillors, council has initiated two independent planning scheme amendments which essentially proposed the expansion of two shopping centres in the Melton East growth area. The first amendment, C91, basically proposes a doubling in the size of the Caroline Springs Shopping Centre from 22,000 square metres to 40,000 square metres. And amendment C112 proposes, I guess, a tripling in the size of the Burnside Shopping Centre from 11,000 square metres to 36,000 square metres. Now, in terms of the Caroline Springs amendment, it was exhibited some time ago at the end of 2009 and early 2010, and seven submissions were received, including two that specifically objected to the amendment. The panel hearings, considering the submissions, were held from the 31st of July to the 3rd of August 2012. And in terms of the Burnside Shopping Centre amendment, that was exhibited between November and December 2011, and nine submissions were received, and there was a subsequent panel hearing held over 8 days between the 1st of May and the 11th of May 2012. The panel report, Madam Mayor, has now been received, and essentially it stands, if you like, in favour of the Caroline Springs Shopping Centre extension, essentially concluding that there's insufficient demand for retail floor space for both retail centres to grow to their desired size in the short and medium term. And the panel indicated further that Caroline Springs was favoured because it's already recognised as a major activity centre in Melbourne 2030 and the Growth Corridor Plan. Caroline Springs Town Centre sits at the top of the adopted retail hierarchy in the Melbourne East Strategy Plan. It's well located to service the existing population centres as well as future population growth. The fact that over the years a significant amount of money, approximately $900 million of public and private investment to develop an impressive range of services. And there's also a greater variety of retail facilities that are proposed in a two discount department store centre over a single discount department store centre or two single BDS centres, which results in greater consumer benefit. Madam Mayor, on the basis of the panel's recommendation, it's recommended to council that it should essentially adopt the Caroline Springs Town Centre amendment subject to an appropriate Section 173 agreement being entered into with the council for the provision of a bus interchange and developer contributions, as has previously been agreed with the proponents. And in relation to the Burnside Shopping Centre, it's recommended that it be deferred at this stage until a retail and activity centre strategy, which has been currently prepared by council, is completed. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. I just have a question. When does the retail and activity centre strategy, when does it look like to be finalised?
Through you, Madam Mayor, it's currently in the process of preparation. It's expected to be completed in July this year, and then we'll come to council sometime after that for consideration and adoption, probably August, September.
Thank you, Mr. Baker. Does any other councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Do I have a mover for the item?
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Ball. Do I have a seconder?
Austin, is that Madam Mayor?
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to item number 8.9, planning scheme amendment C140, site specific exclusion for industrial and retail use at 2/50 Memphis Road, Rockbank. And we'll have Mr. Baggio, manager for planning, to present the item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This particular proposal relates to a parcel of land of just under 52 hectares, which is bounded by the Western Freeway, Mansfield Road and the Melbourne Ballarat Rail Line. The site currently contains a number of uses, including an existing nursery and a rock crushing facility, which has a temporary permit which expires in 2017. The rock crushing use is currently screened by a number of large earth bunds which are visible from Greggs Road. Essentially what's being proposed is that the planning scheme be amended to facilitate the development of a concrete batching plant, rock crushing facility and garden supplies use on the site which is currently prohibited. It's proposed to remove the existing rock crushing plant that operates under a temporary planning permit which I mentioned before. Essentially the concrete batching plant and recycling crushing facility would be operated by a company called ACM. ACM is proposing to expand their current operations at the subject site to include the concrete batching plant to make available a large range of different products such as premixed concrete, crushed rock, aggregate, building materials and garden supplies materials. The model that they're proposing in Rockbank is similar to an existing plant which they have in Epping, which services the northern suburbs of Melbourne. It's anticipated that the rock crushing facility and the concrete crushing plant will need to operate at the site for up to 25 years. In terms of the assessment of the proposal at this stage, it's noted that the land is identified for future industrial development in the Western Growth Corridor Plan. From an officer perspective, it's considered that the proposal needs to be assessed by council on two main criteria. One is whether the proposed uses have the potential to prejudice the preparation of a future precinct structure plan, that's the Mount Atkinson precinct structure plan to the south of the site, and whether the proposed uses have potential to cause an unreasonable amenity impact or nuisance on surrounding properties. Information supplied with the proposal indicates that the 300 metre buffer from the proposed concrete batching plant will encroach on a portion of the land identified for business and residential uses in the Mount Atkinson area. However, given this land is also located in close proximity to the railway line and Hopkins Road, it's considered that this land would be more suited to industrial and commercial uses rather than temporary use of residential type uses. And secondly, the proposed uses on the land are not expected to cause any unreasonable detriment to surrounding dwellings, as they're designed and managed to avoid amenity impacts. And some of the elements which have been included to reduce amenity issues include further bund walls to screen the developments from surrounding area in terms of noise and dust. There's additional landscaping that's been proposed on the bund walls, the internalisation of the batching plant to reduce noise and limit dust, and also a limitation on operating hours. So thank you, Madam Mayor. It's recommended as to the recommendation in the report that Council request the Minister for Planning to authorise the preparation of the amendment, and following authorisation give notice of the amendment so that any surrounding residents and property owners have an opportunity to lodge a submission to the proposal. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baggio. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regards to this item? Madam Mayor, yes. I've got two or three questions I need to sort of get an indication on. If it goes to the minister and he approves it, at the moment the nursery is not as aesthetically pleasing as it could well be. Are there going to be the ability for council to put in permit conditions which will allow some beautification works to take place, or just
more pleasing to the eye than currently the nursery is that exists there.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the current existing nursery operates under its own planning permit. Yes. We can certainly discuss with the proponents the possibility of essentially maybe providing some additional landscaping or further work for the building to improve the appearance of the building. But essentially what's being proposed relates to that section of the land which where these industrial uses have been proposed. And in that respect, what's being proposed is what's known as an incorporated document, which is similar to a planning permit, which would contain certain conditions or requirements in relation to landscaping, amenity, nuisance, those sort of things.
Secondly, I don't know how much activity is being taking place on the site now, but there's been a number of issues around dust and it's intruding. So you made mention of the amenity impact and the bung walls. That will settle those issues, or there'll be permit conditions around them having to sort of like keep wetting the surface so dust doesn't go up through.
Through you, Madam Mayor, there'll be conditions in the incorporated document relating to all of those issues in endeavour to mitigate any dust and noise nuisance which could be caused by the particular proposal. So there'll be specific requirements, both in the incorporated document and on the plans for the council.
Okay. And the last one is, are there native grass or environmentally friendly species that live in that particular
patch? Madam Mayor, not to my knowledge on this particular site, and there has been a flora and fauna study done as part of the submission. However, directly adjoining the site there is land which does contain significant native vegetation.
Thank you.
Councillor,
is there any other further clarification or questions in regards to this matter?
Mr. Baggio, are the current hours of operation the same as the proposed one? So being that it is 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Saturday and 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Sundays and public holidays.
Through you, Madam Mayor, I don't have the exact details of the current hours, but I believe that they're slightly different to what's been proposed. The hours that are being proposed here generally allow the use to operate earlier in the morning. So there is a slight difference in terms of the hours.
Councillor Ball.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And in terms of when we talk about reasonable impact on the adjoining property owners, at a 5 a.m. start on a Saturday morning, you know, what's the amount then that is going to be a bigger facility with more activity, will that be minimised? I don't know because I've never lived in one of these, but I'm just concerned that the hours of operation, if you've got something hammering or whatever, you know, 6 days a week at 5 a.m. to 6 p.m. and then on the seventh day you've got to go from 7 till 6. I'm just concerned about the residents around and how much they have to put up with them.
Mr. Baker.
Through you, Madam Mayor. As part of the submission, there has been a noise assessment done, which has basically had certain recommendations in relation to attenuating any noise nuisance that might be caused by the use. The closest residential property is some distance from the land. I believe it's around 500 metres. And with the mitigation measures which have been proposed, I believe that addresses any potential nuisance to the surrounding property.
Order, please. Councillors, are there any other clarification or questions in regards to this matter? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd like to move this motion, Madam Mayor.
Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'd like to second it, Madam Mayor.
Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? Councillor Dunn. We now will enter into debate. Councillor Turner.
feel that this is a recommendation to request that the Prime Minister authorise. The Prime Minister will also look over everything connected with this, and I just feel that in the option of fair play and giving this job an option to carry on with his business, that's why I support the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just sort of believe that if the planned usage of this land, it seems sort of incongruous to the surrounding land and the area in which it's situated. I know it seems to be a the opposition near the railway line, but I've got grave concerns as to dust, and I know that it's been mentioned that the dust will be inhibited, but I do have some concerns about the actual usage of this so close to the highway, near the Sri Durga Temple, just the area that it's in.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Councillor Ranting.
I had some huge concerns initially as well, but when you look at Niscos Road, the railway track and the Western Highway being the external buffers to this property, if you can get the Minister one to approve it, it comes back to Council anyway, it goes out to a panel, and we can have a look at the conditions that are attached to it. And as long as dust, hours of operation, amenities, and all the native concerns are addressed, when it comes to noise assessment, apparently they only need a buffer of about 300, and Mr. Baggio said that the nearest resident was 500 metres away. So at the moment, it's still stacking up, so I think we should allow it to go to the Minister, and then as the process unfolds, we can take a look at it when further information becomes available.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Is there any other councillor who wishes to speak against this motion? Is there any councillor who wishes to speak for the motion? Councillor Turner, you have the right of reply.
I'd just like to say, as long as the external buffers are in place and the noise and dust mitigation is kept to, I don't see a change with this motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Councillors, all those in favour of the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Cugliari, Councillor Turner, Councillor Maitley, Councillor Ramsey, all those against the motion, please raise your hand. Councillor Dunn, Councillor Carley, Councillor Borg, I therefore declare the motion carried. Item number 8.10, Metropolitan Planning Strategy Discussion Paper, Mr. Bob Baggio.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This report relates to the proposed Metropolitan Planning Strategy Discussion Paper. For the past 10 years, the design of this club in Melbourne has essentially been guided by the state government's strategic planning document in 2030. Recently, however, the Minister for Planning announced that 2030 will soon be replaced by a new metropolitan strategy developed to manage Melbourne's growth and change and contribute to the overall vision for the state, including links with regional Victoria. In October last year, the Minister for Planning released a discussion paper which is titled Melbourne Let's Talk About the Future, designed to generate discussion about the content of the new metropolitan strategy, and submissions are due to the Minister for Planning by the 28th of March. And the discussion focuses on 9 principles in various themes relating to aspirations, what needs to change to achieve the vision, and what is needed to implement the plan. Council's submission, or suggested submission for the strategy, is attached to the report. And just to summarise the submission, Council is generally supportive of the outcomes and principles contained in the discussion paper, but notes that in many instances further consideration should be given for how the ideas and concepts emerging from the discussion paper translate into strategies, actions and policy directions that can be implemented across the metropolitan area. Now, further, in addition to the suggestions outlined in the discussion on each principle, the Council believes that above all, bipartisan support for the Metropolitan Strategy is required to ensure that everyone is working towards a shared vision and common goals in the short, medium and longer term. Further, it's considered that critical to the success of all outcome principles is investment by the state government in the rail, public transport and road networks. And finally, the council submits that a clear and measurable implementation strategy must be a key component of the new strategy. It must identify actions such as key strategic projects or further strategic policies which must be developed for all levels of government which are required to implement the strategy. So Madam Mayor, it's recommended that Council adopt the attached submission as its submission to the discussion paper and submits this to the Minister for Planning for consideration. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Badger. Does any councillor require any further clarification in regard to this item? Do I have a mover for this item?
Madam Mayor, can I move the item and also ask your permission to speak to it for a minute after it's seconded?
Yes. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Councillor Ramsey, you may speak on the matter.
Can I just applaud the officers for the power of work they've done in getting the documentation to input the submission? My greatest concern, and I'm sure councils, is the amount of capital infrastructure investment that is needed for this municipality. It is a growth corridor. It's currently bursting at the seams. It's only going to get worse and worse. And I applaud Mr. Badger for the approach that's taken. It does need a bipartisan approach. Yes, council does agree. But urgent investment into roads, public transport and capital infrastructure is required yesterday, not tomorrow and not 10 or 15 years' time. But thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moving on to item number 8.11, Courthouse Plaza Streetscape Renewal Consultation Results and the Way Forward, presented by Brett Luxford, Acting General Manager of Planning and Development. Thank you, Mr. Luxford.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. The purpose of the report before you today is to detail the results of the public consultation on the Courthouse Plaza and propose a way forward for the detailed design and future improvements of the Courthouse Plaza and the precinct surrounding that. Madam Mayor, in December 2012, Council resolved to publicly exhibit a draft plan for improvements to the Courthouse Plaza in Melton. The Courthouse Plaza is the area on the southwest side of Palmerston and High Street. Melton encompasses the area and the Melton Visitor Information Centre. The area also includes the sound shell, taxi rank, three private shops, car parking and the clock tower. The plans that were achieved were developed with the support of a community reference group which was brought together as a result of an earlier notice of motion. The plans that were developed were also based around some ideas and themes that were produced in the High Street Activity Centre Structure Plan, which was adopted in 2006. It should be noted that we thank the community of the community reference group for their work in developing the plans, and it should also be noted that these plans, the work undertaken by the committee, will not be overlooked in moving forward. Overall, there was positive feedback on Council's desire to undertake improvements to the plaza. There was also positive feedback on the improvement works already undertaken by Council, including Palmerston Street and the bus interchange. And Council has made also noticed the amount of garden beds and planings that have taken place in Melton Township over the past 12 months. In relation to the Courthouse Plaza, there were some views on the agenda plans that should be considered going forward, including the need for a playground, the opportunity to provide new toilet facilities, the best location for the clock tower and the wooden horse, the extent of tree planting that was identified on the plans, the need to link the area to the new library, which will shortly be opened in Mackenzie Street, the need to not only develop works in there, but to activate the space in some way so that it actually does get used, and the opportunities presented by the Visitor Information Centre. Essentially, the consultation highlighted a range of other considerations that need to be taken into account before we can finalise designs for the Courthouse Plaza. The report before you is recommending the council undertake further consultation on the design for the area. This will take into account any improvements proposed on Mackenzie Street as a result of the new library, linkages between the courthouse plaza and the library, as well as the feedback already received. If council adopts the recommendations as outlined, it's proposed that in the 2013-14 financial year, consideration be given to undertaking approximately $50,000 of work in the area. This will help establish the link between the library and the existing courthouse plaza and provide for some minor landscaping works. In essence, the community consultation has reinforced the desire of the community for improvements to the area, and the recommendations before you tonight on page, page 120 will help ensure that integrated approach. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Oxford. Councillors, do I have any questions in regards to this item? Councillor Ball.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Mr. Luxford, I'm just wondering, this further consultation before it comes back to council, how long do you see that taking, or how long is your office's planning for that to occur? And also, in what form will that come back? Will that go back to the minor committee, or has that been dissolved now? Will it just come back straight to council? Or what form will that consultation come back?
Thank you, Councillor Paul. Continue, Madam Mayor. There is currently an internal working group looking at the plan for the timelines for developing of the of both the consultation going forward, which will hopefully coincide with the library opening as an opportunity to engage some people around the what's desired in that Mackenzie Street area and how that links through back through to the courthouse plaza. In terms of the timeline for the development of works, we would hope that towards the end of the year we'll have some idea of the consultation and some concept plans that we'll be able to bring back towards council for initial consideration. And in moving forward, I understand that the committee developed the original plans and they will need to be fed back to and engaged in some way moving forward. But I'm not sure, and they will be heavily involved within the consultation phase, but I'll take advice from as to whether the committee has been dissolved and not whether the committee has formally been dissolved, so they will be written to thanking them for their work already and indicating that they will be involved in future consultations.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Oxford. Is there any other councillor who requires any further clarification or has questions on this item? Do I have a mover for this motion?
I'd like to move that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Andy. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Gould. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Moving on to 8.12, Domestic Animal Management Plan, and Mr. Peter Bean, General Manager for Corporate Services, will present the item. Thank you, Mr. Bean.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I present the council this evening consideration of for the adoption of council's Domestic Animal Management Plan. This draft plan provides strategic direction for council in the area of domestic animal management for the next 4 years. Council is required to prepare a domestic animal management plan every 4 years in accordance with the relevant section being 68A of the Domestic Animal Act. Council adopted its first plan at its ordinary meeting held on 24 November 2008, and as such it is time to adopt a new plan. Due to the council elections in October 2012, the Department of Animal Industries wrote to all councils and offered an extension to the 30th of June 2013 to allow the new council or the newly formed councils to have a certain level of ownership of those plans. At the ordinary meeting of council held on the 9th of February, council resolved to establish a committee, a community liaison committee, which it subsequently did. This committee was endorsed with reviewing the current plan and making recommendations to council on its content and any other such matters that were deemed to be relevant. All community representatives were appointed to the committee at the ordinary meeting held on 26 July 2012. On page 131, Madam Mayor, there are an outline of specific issues that were raised by the committee for council to consider in its new plan. They are largely around sort of the operations of the pound, recognition and addressing of the issue of feral cats, the creation or consideration of a cat collection program, more formalised than what's currently provided within the municipality, the issue of registration fees, the use of council's website in dealing with things such as the reduction of dump damage and other such matters, the promotion and further advancement of dog off-leash areas within the municipality, and a couple of reviewing of local law matters, which is largely around the number of animals that are allowed to be kept, as well as a certain level of differentiation between residential and farming properties, which does not exist in the current local law. The committee's recommendations to council, there are 8 of them, and they are set out on page 131 and 132 for consideration, and they will be considered by council during the life of this 4-year plan. There are some financial considerations that need to be taken into consideration with the consideration of potential adoption of any of these recommendations, but these will be evaluated as part of the review process of each recommendation. Madam Mayor, I present to you the recommendation that is set out on page 129 of the agenda this evening. The recommendation is that Council 1 adopt the 2012-2016 Domestic Animal Management Plan as attached, and 2, acknowledge and thank the 4 independent community representatives for their contribution in the development of the 2012-2016 Domestic Animal Management Plan. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Bean. Does any councillor require any further clarification or questions in regard to this item? Councillor Ramsey.
Madam Mayor, I just want to also thank the committee and for the power of work that they've done to get the Domestic Animal Management Plan to this stage. I have some concerns around some of the recommendations made by the committee, but I take it that in the plan to investigate, so further investigation work will take place in some of these items.
Through you, Madam Mayor, Councillor Ramsey, that is correct. If there are matters that are of a, let's consider a mechanical nature, which may be matters related to Council's website, which would bear no cost and would seem a good strategic business directive to do, Council staff may well do it, but where there are generally financial considerations for Council to have some consideration of, we would bring them back and have Council consider those matters.
Thank you. Councillors, is there any other further questions or clarifications in regards to this matter? Do I have a mover for this motion?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Councillor Borg. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 9, reports of committees. Item number 10, reports from delegates appointed by council to other bodies. Yes. 10.1, presentation of written and verbal reports from councillors in their role as delegates to other bodies. Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I attended 2 committee meetings. The first one was the Domestic Animal Management Committee on the 13th of February. I won't go into too much detail because the report is attached to the agenda this evening, but if I could just say it was great to be on this committee. It was great to see so many passionate people on this committee. There is still a lot of work that needs to be done besides the issues that have been raised. The committee spoke about wanting to expand the thoughts of the committees and not just have it set as with domestic animals. They'd like to see a snake catching program and things like that. So as a committee, we're going to meet again and have some further chats about that. The issues that were raised during the meeting, which are in the report, were the pound operation hours. At the moment, the committee felt that they weren't easily accessible to a lot of residents who do work. Those hours, they do need to be expanded. The feral cats was a real problem, but as I said, I won't go into too much detail. The report is listed in the agenda. The second meeting I attended was the Early Years Partnership meeting. That was on the 21st of February. Present at this meeting, there was a gentleman by the name of Tim Harrison. Tim is from the School of Education and Arts, University of Ballarat.
he presented the final report of the Melton Kindergarten project. The purpose of the report was to investigate, why statistically kindergarten attendances in the city of Melton is considered low at 85% compared with the Victorian state average of 95%. And some of the barriers that these families had reported and what was highlighted in the report was transport issues, kindergarten hours for working families, and the perception of the cost involved with kindergarten. Now, these are only just to name a few, but we did go into quite a bit of detail. We spoke about ways on how to increase participation in kinders, and I mentioned it would perhaps be a good idea to have a kinder open day that would give all families the information needed to make decisions about kinder and to ensure that all the families are given the correct information. We spoke about how to increase maternal and health visits, and it is great to see that Council is promoting this great service to residents in our city, which is there. It's a free service offered to all Victorian families with children aged 0 to 6 years. It's recommended that children have 10 visits at certain ages so our health nurses can check the child's health and development. We also spoke about the Municipal Early Years Plan for 2014 and 17 that will be coming up soon. And that's all. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended 8 committees of four councils this month, including there was the Policy Review Committee, Western Melbourne Tourism, there was an AGM held there, and I would like to bring it to Council's attention that I have retained the role of Deputy Chair of Western Melbourne Tourism for the next 2 years. The Property Development Committee forms part of the agenda papers as well, and also with the suburb naming change. So there were two of the items that were discussed there. The Audit Committee I attended, and that made up Council's documentation. Road State Westgate is one I want to highlight, and the Community Learning Board. The Community Learning Board went through a complete self-analysis of the board, its working documentation, and also the strategic way forward for the next couple of years and how they're going to relate to Council's plan and Council's documentation. And it is one of Council's cornerstones that lifelong learning be enhanced and embraced by all, and that is something that's coming through loudly and clearly. And yes, I follow the former Councillor Balls and Councillor Gary Stock, and I've been appointed as the Deputy Chair in that committee as well. The Road Safe Westgate, we've started the statistics again, Madam Mayor, and although I don't want to say it out loud, there have been no deaths reported on our roads to date, which is fantastic news. And in the Western region, we are the lowest for serious casualties and serious injuries and injuries as well. What is disturbing though is there are still two that have been clocked at with speeds over 70 kilometres per hour, and there have been several that have been clocked at over 45 kilometres per hour. These are really excessive speeds, and I urge everybody again to watch the safety messages around now and leading up to Easter. Be careful on those roads. Just continue the good work. And if any councillor wishes to see me about any of the other reports to council, I'll do so at a later stage. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. I also attended a few committees, policy review panel meeting, which the minutes of the meetings were attached to discuss in tonight's council meeting. The Disability Advisory Committee also we met, and highlights included two guest speakers from QIC who provided an overview of the Woodgrove Shopping Centre development. Some of the accessible features that were being included into the complex were discussed, and also members of the Disability Advisory Committee included some of their own ideas to allow for better access for our residents, including a quiet space for people with high sensory issues, and also suggestions for car parking for our senior residents. It is expected that the opening for the shopping centre will be occurring hopefully sometime in October this year. We also discussed the program Work for Me, which is an inclusive initiative that is a collaboration between disability service providers, community organisations and employment and training providers. It focuses on improving training and employment outcomes for young people with a disability. Council has also commenced the process of consultations for the 2013/2017 Melton City Council Access and Inclusion Strategies Plan. The role of the Disability Advisory Committee will involve the review of the survey, attendance, support, the facilitation of the focus groups, including internal sessions, providing feedback on the draft plan inclusion actions, and providing feedback on the design of the plan and supporting the launch. Myself and Councillor Ramsey actually attended the CEO review panel meeting. The CEO review panel meeting has met as this committee is related to confidential matters. I can only inform councillors at this point that there will be a meeting in the near future to discuss the outcomes of these meetings. The audit committee meeting also met, as Councillor Ramsey has said. I attended the audit committee meeting with Councillor Ramsey. The minister included in today's agenda just to highlight that a report from the internal auditor with respect to essential safety measures was received, and the committee also reviewed the financial management report and progress against the risk register. The Western Region Mayors Forum was actually hosted by Melton. The Western Region Mayors Forum there was representatives from the mayors from Hobsons Bay, Maribyrnong and Moonee Valley also attended, as the chair of Greenbank City Council. Discussion around the regional rail link and how that project is affecting councils individually and collectively as a whole of the Western Region. Our recommendation was that a meeting be organised as soon as possible with the new CEO of VicTrack, Mr Tam Rose, with CEOs of Western Region, and also organise a follow-up meeting with mayors of the Western Region and John, the CEO. John, the administrator from Greenbank. We also spoke about the upcoming Mayor and CEO delegation to Canberra with Lead West, where we will be collectively meeting ministers and shadow ministers from the federal government to discuss and advocate on issues that affect our municipalities on a Western and collective front. All mayors and CEOs are attending, including representation from Greenbank City Council. We discussed the fire service levy charge that state government is implementing, and the concern this has on residents and for their ability to pay this extra cost. Also, discussions around the dockyards in Hobsons Bay were concerned over the future of this major employer for the whole of the Western Region, as it employs over 1,000 people ranging from all over the Western Region, including our municipality. So the recommendation would be that it would be helpful if the group could get the breakdown of employees and the workers and what municipality they reside in to understand the full impact of the matter. The Interfaith Councils Forum launched the One Melbourne All Two report, which is a detailed piece of work undertaken by Essential Economics on behalf of Interfaith Councils that clearly demonstrates the disadvantage suffered by people living in outfaith areas when compared to people living in middle and inner suburbs of Melbourne with respect to infrastructure provision, access to services and employment opportunity. This is a major planting of advocacy work being undertaken by the Interfaith Councils, particularly with the state government, in order to achieve better outcomes for councils such as Melton that fall within the Interfaith region. Further to that launch, the Interfaith Councils mayors and CEOs then presented the One Melbourne All Two report to the Leader of the Opposition, Mr Daniel Andrews, and members of the Shadow Cabinet and Interfaith Parliamentarians held at Parliament House. This was a valuable opportunity to engage with senior parliamentarians from the opposition and to promote the directions identified within the One Melbourne All Two report. Finally, councillors, just to inform you as your MAB delegate that the MAB elections have taken place and our representative for our Western Region is Councillor Angela Altair, Mayor from Hobsons Bay. I congratulate Mayor Altair for his successful appointment into the MAB board, and also the President for the MAB has been re-elected, Councillor Rob MacArthur. Congratulations to Councillor MacArthur for his election on the MAB board as President. Thank you. Councillor Turner.
Thank you, Madam on the 7th of February, I attended the Melbourne Highway Advisory Committee along with Councillor Filio, and I'm sure she's going to be speaking to that. on the same evening, I went to the city and attended the Metropolitan Waste Management Committee, and the main agenda that evening was the election of the chair and the deputy chair. And the chair on the evening was Councillor Colin Ross, was elected from Sardinia, and the election of Councillor Catherine Cummins from Marginal. Also on the same evening, there was election of what they call the SPAC, Strategic and Policy Advisory Group, and this normally changes over every July because of vacancies. There was a full clean sweep. There was four nominations for five positions. The chair of the forum is ex officio chair of this group as well, and the four nominated for the positions was Councillor Helen Hart from Whitehorse, Councillor Tom Milton from Banyo, and Councillor Norm Kelly Whittlesea, and Councillor Bob Fairclough from Wyndham. They were all elected on the post. excuse me. On the 20th and 27th of February, I attended the Cultural Linguistic and Diverse Advisory Committee. Main business on the evening was discussion of terms of reference, new terms of reference, which are coming through to council probably next month for clarification, and also Harmony Day, which is this month on the 23rd of March at Caroline Springs, and there's also a Harmony Day in Diggers Rest on the 25th. As a representative on the Metropolitan Waste Management Committee, was great to see the turnout on Sunday for the sale show you there, with quite a few councillors there. Councillor Carey, Councillor Ramsey, and Councillor Dunn attended on the day along with myself. I'd like to thank the staff who were involved in organising and implementing the day. It was Linda Bradburn, the Environmental Officer, Dylan Meeks, Letter Education and Prevention Officer, Sharon Reese, the Waste Education Officer, and also from the Parks Improvement Team, Les Freeman and Shane Smith. And I'd also like to thank the CFA volunteers who pulled in all the big stuff from Hannah Watts and the Rotary Club, who actually did the cooking at the end of the day for everyone. There was quite a few areas on the day. I'll just run through this quickly. Arnold Street, the coordinator was Adam Elburn. I'd just like to mention his answers again. Thank you. Arnold Street Group for Blackwood Drive was Darryl Aitlis of the Melton Environment Group, and he also had some of his team there. And Burnside, Bullenburn Drive, Tony Herbert, and also they were assisted by Brent McCorry, Duke, and of the Bullenburn Reserve. Caroline Springs, Chisholm Drive, Wetlands, Jerry Mallier, who's from Melton City Council, and local residents, Caroline Springs Bridgewater Terrace, Noel Bell, and local residents, Caroline Springs Lake Caroline, Claire Mouser, and the first Caroline Springs Scouts Group, Caroline Springs Millennium Gardens, Christ and Peace Primary School, Gary Jennings, who is with the Livestock Caroline Springs, and he was also part of the project at Millennium Garden. Diggers Rest Recreation Reserve, Michelle Dale, and the Diggers Rest Cubs and Scouts. At Ainsbury, we had Greg Keyfield, and Ainsbury Owners Corporation. In Melton, we had Hannah Watts Park, we had Dylan Meeks from Melton Shire, and volunteers from the CFA, as I mentioned earlier on. Melton West at Avon Park, we had John Southall, who was in the gallery this evening, from Melton Residents Association. Melton South, we had Melton Botanic Gardens, Janet Dyke, and Sandra Botanic Gardens. In Melton, McDonald's, Kate Logan, and McDonald's staff came to that area. In Melton South, Tamar Dyer, Stone Creek and South, Kevin Stewart, Lynn Holbert, and her good friends at Stone Creek. And last but not least, we actually have on Saturday the 2nd, Arnold Street at High Street, David Cowan from the Church of Jesus Christ Latter-day Saints, and members of the Latter-day Saints Church. And
all the residents who helped clean up the Valley Day. Councillor Quigliari.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Attended the Melton Highway Committee, which was also attended by Councillor Turner early in February, where we discussed the recent funding of just over $5 million. That includes the design, investigation, materials and drainage, barriers, culvert sealing and vegetation from Sunshine Road to High Street in Melton. And this project would take about 8 months, which is approximately 32 weeks. I also attended the Ravenhook Prison Advisory Committee. Councillor Dunn, this meeting took place at the Metropolitan Remand Centre in Ravenhall, and the Honourable Andrew McIntosh, the Minister for Corrections, and Andrew Ellsbury, the Member for the Western Metropolitan Region, also attended. And discussions were just based around the Ravenhall Prison Project and also the public information sessions which will be held in Caroline Spring Library and also at Sunshine Library. Councillor Carley mentioned the Early Years Partnership meeting, which I also attended, and she's basically covered what I'm going to discuss. Thank you.
Councillor
Quigliari.
Councillor
Dunn. Thank you, Madam Mayor. I attended the Policy Review Panel, the Heritage Advisory Committee, which discussed the upcoming heritage week occurring in April, and I was actually elected as chairperson, so I'm not sure everyone attends that week. The Property and Development Advisory Committee. I was proxy for Bob Turner on the Municipal Emergency Management Planning Committee, and I was really, really impressed because they set up the council rooms as a mock-up of an emergency headquarters, and just to actually see how things are implemented when we have an emergency was really fantastic. So I thank Bob for letting me have that opportunity to see how it was done. I also attended the Municipal Fire Management Planning Committee, and I too attended the Ravenhall Prison Advisory Committee that took place at the Metropolitan Remand Centre, and I got there a little bit early to have a look at the tour of the facility. Yes.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Thank you, Councillors. We move on to item 10.2, parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor, and we have two. I will read them in brief format. Minister for Public Transport, Minister for Roads, from the Honourable Terry Mulder, MP, Minister for Public Transport, and it says it's regarding Melton Railway Station. As you may be aware, TTV recently began advertising a tender to provide 23 sealed car spaces at Melton Railway Station. While there are no current proposals to upgrade CCTV and lighting, nor to construct a pedestrian overpass at the station, TTV has noted your comments. TTV advises that the land within V-Line's lease boundary at the station is being maintained by V-Line in a manner consistent with current network practices. However, there are parcels of land in the station precinct that are not within the V-Line lease boundary. And they would like more information in regards to more specific detail regarding the areas of concern. As you would appreciate, any electrification and or duplication of the line to Melton would require a major capital undertaking. TTV will consider such works as part of the development of the overall electrified metropolitan network. And there's a letter here from the Minister for Health, which is the Honourable David Davies, MP, and it states regarding growth and associated healthcare needs in Melbourne's West. As outlined in the framework, Victoria faces unprecedented health service demand pressures due to population growth and ageing and the rise of chronic illness and disease. I am advised that public hospital services for the Melton area are provided primarily through the Sunshine Hospital campus of Western Health and by Jerrawarra Health Services at its Bacchus Marsh Hospital and Melton Health campuses. Melton Health provides a wide range of day medical and allied health services for many health conditions, as well as an extended hours, primary injury and illness clinic, a dental clinic, and chemotherapy. Sunshine Hospital provides a comprehensive range of public inpatient hospital services to Melton residents, and the expansion of Sunshine Hospital will further improve their access to inpatient and outpatient health services into the future.
under the National Partnership Agreement in improving public health services. $28 million has been allocated to Werribee Mercy Hospital for sub-acute and community rehabilitation facilities. I'm aware that when construction is finished in 2013, this will provide improved access to sub-acute services for residents living in the Wyndham area. I wish to assure you that the Victorian Government is well aware of the growth forecast for key parts of Melbourne, its metropolitan, rural fringe and areas of regional Victoria. It is considering these issues through a range of means, including the development of metropolitan planning strategy. It is expected that future growth in health service provision will be met through a range of providers, including public and private, supported by both state and Commonwealth funding. The Victorian Government has increased funding to Victorian Health Services by $1.3 billion since coming into office, and in the current year we have put a record $13.7 billion into health. On the 22nd of October 2012, through the mid-year economic and fiscal outlook, the Commonwealth Government announced it will cut $107 million from Victorian Health Services over the remainder of the 2012-13 financial year, and an estimated $475 million over the next 4 years. This is an unprecedented cut to health services funding in the middle of a financial year and includes a clawback of $40 million of 2011-12 funding, which has already been spent delivering vital hospital services to Victorians. The Commonwealth Government's decision to reduce health funding is based on a flawed calculation that assumes the Victorian population fell in 2011 by 11,111 persons. In direct contrast, the Australian Bureau of Statistics has produced data that shows the Victorian population grew by 1.4% or 75,400 persons in 2011. The Victorian Government continues to make representations to the Commonwealth Government to reserve this discretion and restore funding for Victorian Health Services. The reduction in Commonwealth funding is unplanned and against the spirit of National Health Agreement, which promises certainty and predictability in funding for health services. I suggest you make your views known to the Prime Minister and Commonwealth Minister for Health, as the impact on local health services is of significant concern. And that's from the Honourable David Davies, MP, Minister for Health. Councillors, do I have any councillors who require any further clarification in regards to the items that I've just read out? Do I have a councillor who wishes to move a motion on this recommendation that the parliamentarian and departmental letters received by the Mayor be received and noted?
That's good.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Do I have a seconder for this motion?
I second that.
Thank you, Councillor Carley. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item 10.3, record of assembly of councillors attached to this agenda in accordance with section 80A/1 of the Local Government Act 1989, the 12th of February 2013, 19th of February 2013, 26th of February 2013, and the recommendation is that the record of assembly of councillors attached to this item to the agenda dated 12th of February, 9th of February and 26th of February 2013 be received and noted. Do I have any councillor requiring any further clarification in regards to this item?
No.
Do I have a mover for this item?
It was beautifully read and so put, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for this item?
I'd like to second that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Do I have a councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Item number 11, notices of motion. Number 12, councillors' questions without notice.
Yes, Madam.
Councillor Carley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have two questions. The first one is, what is the Mayor doing in regard to advocating for the Melton Public Hospital? And my second question is, when will the committee for the hospital meet and have its first meeting?
At the moment, Councillor Carley, progress works are happening in regards to a meeting in the very near future. Mr. Tory, 10th of April is the date that we're trying to organise with all the members. As you can be aware, there is quite a few members that need to be invited to this, including members of the Parliament. So that is the way forward in regards to the upcoming committee of the hospital.
And what was your other question? Sorry, Madam Chair. It is, what is the Mayor doing in regards to advocating for the Malcolm Public Hospital?
And I guess the answer is we are continuing at this point in phase with the not the referendum, the survey, petition, thank you, Mr. Bean. We are continuing with the petition, and that will also be an item on the agenda whether the councillors and also the members of the public wish to continue with that petition, and when will it, the timing be apt to hand that petition into the relevant, obviously, the relevant state government members, and also the upcoming committee is also the... thank you, Mr. Tory. We have had several meetings with Simon Ramsey, who is the...
Western Province, Western Region MLC.
Western Region MLC. I've also had a meeting with Andrew Ellsbury in regards to not just the hospital, but also the train station. We've also had a meeting with Colleen Hartland and Natalie Hutchins, and we are, Don Nardella as well. We are in the process of having a meeting with Don Nardella together with Natalie Hutchins and Marlene Carew in the very near future. We're just trying to get a date that they're all free.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Carling. Any other questions, councillors, without notice? Councillor Ball.
Mayor, thank you. Mr. Tory, can I ask a question of you, please, sir, or Mr. Bean? There's been some interest in where Council has been holding its budget briefings. Could I please just get you to clarify over the past 4 years where Council has held its budget briefing sessions and its consultation sessions, please?
Okay, last year Council held its budget briefing sessions, the initial two-day part of anyway, at Westwaters Hotel. It was a two-day session on Friday and a Saturday. The rest of the budget process was held on the normal Thursday night briefings. The previous year, it was a mixture of, there was one full-day briefing held at the Civic Centre, and there were some evening briefings and half-day sessions as well. There was a bit of a mixture. The previous year was similar to that. That's specifically in relation to the budget. The budget discussion this year was slightly different, given that it was a new council and we also had the task of developing a new council plan. So a session was planned. That was a Friday-Saturday session. It was held last Friday and Saturday. And that was held at Lancefield. And it was a two-day session. The first day was on the council plan and the key strategic directions of council for the coming 4 years. And the second day was the first part of budget deliberations. The balance of the budget deliberations are scheduled for the next 6 Tuesday evenings for council to further develop. So there's been a bit of a mixture over the time. There's been different approaches taken. The difference in the first year of a newly elected council is that there's a merging of the budget process and the council planning process at the initial stage. There's considerable work still to be done on both documents.
So just to further clarify, if I may, so over the past 4 years, the majority of the budget briefing sessions have been at the Melton Civic Centre and held within the municipality, where the two being the one previously, which was on last weekend, and back in 2008-09 after the election, they were both held outside of the municipality, whereas every other budget has been within the municipality, either at this Civic Centre Hall or at Caroline Springs Westwood.
That's correct, yes.
Thank you. Yes.
Councillors, are there any other further questions without notice? Councillor Ramsey.
I know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and this is a question I wasn't planning on asking. So it's basically become
the very first budget council plan briefing of any new council is usually held or has been over the last four terms off-site to allow less, very limited interruption and a lot of hard work. Is that right?
Just to clarify, I'm not aware what happened in the first election of council because I wasn't employed by the council at that time. The subsequent election in 2005, the first council planning session, and it wasn't a dual council planning budget session, so that's the point of clarification, I guess. It was a two-day council plan session, and that was held at Glen Eireann in Lanceville. In 2008-09, following the last election preceding the 2012 one, the first workshop was a two-day session held at Romsey, and that was again just a two-day session on the council plan development. It did not include a budget element. The difference, I guess, this year was that it was a dual function event rather than a single purpose event. But correct, the first weekend workshop, first two-day workshop of each council term, to my knowledge, since the return of elected councils to the municipality, has been held at a venue outside the municipality, and the other three in each of those terms of elected councils have been held either in these offices or in a facility within the municipality.
Councillor Ramsey. Thank you, Mr. CEO. Now, I just would like to know if there's any update that we can give the Chamber and fellow councillors on the Ferris Road intersection and the light signal.
I am not aware of any update. I attended a session with Vic Rhodes about a month ago where that was a heavily discussed item with the regional manager of Vic Rhodes and the project manager for that project. We are in constant touch with Vic Rhodes through our engineering department trying to assist in making that as smooth and as quick a process as we possibly can. But there are design issues that Vic Rhodes are in control of, and we are not in control of the project, which limits our capacity to influence, but we are advocating very strongly, and we are well aware that it is right at the top of council's priority list for things that need to be delivered in the earliest possible time frame.
Thank you. Councillors, any other councillors who have questions without notice? No, we move on to item number 13, motions without notice. Councillor Dunn.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I wish to put forward a motion for Melton City Council to advocate for the relocation of the bus stop on the inbound lane of Western Highway adjacent to the Sundowner Caravan Park at Rockbank to a position in Westcott Parade behind the caravan park is a high priority for the public safety of those residents who utilise this service.
Thank you, Councillor Dunn. Are there any other motions without notice? Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move that Council investigate costs and logistics concerns in providing our residents with the option of an extra fee tip day or similar support. Keep it so your vehicle and we'll pursue you there, and to encourage more recycling and a tidier city.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. Any other councillors who have motions without notice? Moving on to number 14, any urgent business, councillors? No. Item number 15, confidential business. Councillor Turner.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move the pursuant to section 89, bracket 2. Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports are considered confidential for the reasons indicated.
Thank you, Councillor Turner. And I just note the items 15.1, 15.2, 15.3 and 15.4. Do I have any councillor to second that motion?
in that, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Cordiaro. Do I have any councillor who opposes the motion? I therefore declare it carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for attending tonight's evening. Please help us up to Team Coffee, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your evening, and I wish you well. Thank you. Thank you.